Hello everyone, this is Mike Quinsey, Connecting the Light. My guest today is Nancy Wallace. She is an intuitive life coach and psychic, and she is the author of a book called Raised by Angels. And I might add, she is the founder of 501c3, which is a non-profit organization. Called a Charles Miracle Mind
Radio,
Incorporated, and she's in the process
album,
of starting
inside,
the School of Now, which is designed for children with behaviour problems and for children that are slipping through the system, because, as she calls it, they do not fit into the bell curve. Hello, Nancy. Are you with us?
I'm with you. Thank you very much, Michael. It was a great introduction.
Good. I'm glad. I've obviously read a little bit about your bio, and I think a good place to start, which is going to be of interest to our listeners, is your early childhood, which you say has been guided up to adulthood by angels, and that they provided insight for you, and you've used it for precognition and interpretation of the tarot, which forms part of your readings. Now, tell us about some of the experiences you had and how it started when you were in early childhood.
When I was about 6 years old, I was sitting on top of my oldest brother's shoulders, and he was bouncing around like a horse, you know, having a good time, but he lost control of my hands, and I kind of like went flying into the air, and when I landed, I actually landed with my head and neck under my back. And by all rights, I should either be dead or paralyzed, and I am not, either one. However, the entire time that I was laying there, I mean, my brothers were afraid to touch me because they thought I was dead, I heard this beautiful, beautiful voice talking to me, telling me that I'm okay, there's nothing wrong with me, I know a lot of things now, you can't use it yet, we'll let you know when. So it was a really, really pretty voice, and I thought, well, this isn't too bad. I had no idea what really was going on. I don't remember seeing a white light or anything like that, just this beautiful voice. And that voice has continued with me all the way through adulthood, and it's helped me out several times. Like, you know, I didn't understand what they meant. I knew a lot of things now, but I couldn't use it. And what happened is after that incident, I could look at people, and I, at 6 years old, would know when they were going to die. But I wasn't allowed, actually, to approach anybody because my beautiful angel voice would tell me that this has already been decided. It's not your concern. They're going to a better place, and they're okay. So I grew up allowing people to basically do what they needed to do as far as what their contracts and agreements have been. But it hasn't been easy because with that ability, I was able to know when my oldest brother was going to die. I knew when my dad was going to die. I also knew when my youngest brother was going to die. And the same occurred with all of it. Even though I knew these things, I was told that it's not for me, that it's already been decided. So
yes.
I wrote my book called Raised by Angels, mostly to let other people know that they have all these angels. They have all this help out there for them if they would just take the time to listen and kind of follow what they're telling you to do, or your feeling is basically telling you. So I have grown up with that ability forever. But as a child, they showed me different visions of what was really going to be going on in the world today, and they kept telling me 2010 is very important. I know everybody's worried about 2012, but 2010,
yes,
there's going to be apparently some awful big changes that start to come in and continue all the way through 2017. So that's kind of a synopsis of what's happened with me from the time I was six all the way until now.
Yeah, an interesting point arises from that experience, because I would guess that not too many people would really believe or accept that they have a life contract and there is a self-determined date, presumably, or an incident or something of that nature, which will see them leave the earth. Now, did your angels actually tell you a precise date? When you said you knew, say, for example, when your brother would die or your mother or father, how did it come to you?
it was very strange, as most of them came. I'll give you an example for my oldest brother. We were at a New Year's Eve party. And you know how, well, here in this country, every time there's a New Year's Eve party, at the end of the party, everybody wants to hug everybody and wish them, you know, the best. Well, when I went to hug my brother, he was like ice cold to me. His body was totally ice cold. And this strange feeling came over me like, this is the last time that I'm going to see him alive. And inside, I was hearing, again, from my beautiful voice trying to help me, because it's kind of a shock, actually, that he's okay, and he's going to be okay. And he knows he's going to be okay. So, again, you must allow.
Yes.
And it was really hard at that point because, I mean, knowing that and that being confirmed by my angels, and then my brother's last words to me as he hugged me is, you take care of yourself, sis.
Right.
Okay? It was, like, really strange because he never, ever, ever said anything like that to me before, and I thought, no, this is not going to be pretty. So we had all agreed to meet at another place after the party was over. And my brother was not doing a lot of drinking, and I don't drink at all. So I had offered to drive people. And, of course, everybody wanted to do their own thing. And the car that my brother went in, the driver decided he was going to drive. And my brother said, well, you should probably let me drive. And the man, of course, said no. But then later, my brother said that I will drive. So they pulled off the road to let my brother out so he could drive. And as he went to walk around from the passenger side, the driver's side, he actually slipped on ice and went into the street, and a car hit him.
Oh, dear.
And
that's very, very interesting, isn't it, that the scenario is arranged for him to leave. But now, when you said that you felt him and he was icy cold, and you obviously knew that something was up, was that the first time that you had an indication that he was going to die at that time? And you didn't know months or years in advance, presumably.
Not for him, I didn't. But for my dad, I did.
Oh, I see. Right.
My mom. It was kind of different for each scenario. My dad, you know, I just felt that he was not doing well. And my angels would say, you know, he's going to be okay. He's going to be okay. He's going to do what he's going to do. And in May of the year my dad died, I said to my mom, because she was moaning about how crabby and stuff he's been, and I said, Mom, he's really not doing well. He's probably not going to be here, you know, from September on. So sometime in September, he's going to get either really sick or something's going to happen. You know, because I don't, I am not allowed most of the time to let people know things like this in advance, even though I know it.
Oh, no.
And my mom didn't understand, but I told my mom in September he was probably going to die. And what happened is in September he had a massive cerebral hemorrhage and he died.
Well.
You know,
That's interesting to clarify that, because I wasn't sure whether you only knew when it was imminent, but you've explained you can know years before. Do you actually see your angels? Do you see them at all?
You know, I don't necessarily see them, but I feel them and I hear them. And I trust them. And when I haven't trust them, because I'm like everybody else, going to go, oh, yeah, right, this is, you know, whatever. And when I have not trusted them, it has also turned out not so good. So listen to them as much as I can.
Right. So can you choose the times that you contact them and do your channeling?
It was really funny because they were like always around. I was never, I never felt like I was ever alone. And I titled my book Raised by Angels because that's truly in my heart how I feel like I have been raised. I mean, yes, my parents housed me, they fed me, they clothed me, they loved me, they did all of those things. But they didn't give me what I know. They haven't helped me get through the things that, you know, I basically have gotten through in my life. They're there, don't get me wrong, but it's not the same kind of energy that I get from my angels as they keep guiding me.
Right, yes. So do you get the same contacts each time, or can't you tell?
Well, there's one beautiful, beautiful voice that I hear all the time. In time when there's going to be some danger or some problems for me, just for me, I will get a very deep masculine male angel voice who is pretty demanding. Like, I'll give you an example. I never used to wear a seatbelt because they hurt my neck and they just bother me. So I'd never wear a seatbelt. And then one night I left to go to work, and what I was doing when I was going to go to work, they have out in the United States, in Illinois, they have a thing called high school lock-ins where they actually take all the kids that are seniors who are graduating and they give them a big party, but they're all locked in this building and they hire psychics and they have different entertainments for them to do, you know, character drawings, things like that. So on my way there, as I pulled out of the driveway, I heard not my regular pretty voice angel, but a deeper angel say to me, "Put on your seatbelt." And I said, "No, I don't really want to put on my seatbelt. I don't need a seatbelt, you know." So I'm kind of arguing with it in my mind. And I hear again, as I pull out of the driveway, "You put on your seatbelt." So I thought, well, they did have a report saying that the police are out looking for people without seatbelts on. So I put on my seatbelt. And I'm a fast driver. I won't lie to anybody. I go very fast. But as I went to go down this ramp, I slowed down quite a bit because it's a ramp. And as I got about halfway down the ramp, just before the light was going to change green, I heard in a deep voice again, "Slow down." So I pumped the brakes a little bit, but apparently I didn't slow down enough. And so just as I was getting ready to enter the intersection and the light had just about changed and I knew it wasn't going to change back to red, I heard in a very demanding voice, "Slow down." So I hit the brakes, but I still entered the intersection. And as I entered the intersection, someone had ran a red light and they hit me. Okay. But if I hadn't slowed down, you know, going down the ramp or at that particular time, this truck would have broadsided me. But instead, because I hit the brakes when I did, it only hit the front end of, like, from the side mirror all the way forward. And my car spun, and my car hit the back of his truck. So I got hurt, but I was still alive, where if I had not have loosened and I had entered that intersection, the person that ran that red light would have hit me broadside, and with a seatbelt on, I would have been crushed to death.
Right. Well, that incident seems to prove one thing, that because you have a date when you're going to leave the Earth, they make sure that you don't die before your time as well.
Yes, that's very true. And when I was in high school, they did the same thing to me, but that was different because they really did not let me say a lot of anything to anyone about what I knew growing up until I was in high school. And I was in a car my brother was driving, and it was him in the front seat, his girlfriend and her brother, and I was in the back seat. And when I was in high school, that was back in the 60s, so seatbelts didn't really exist, and speed limit where I lived was like 65 miles an hour. And there was one hill in the little town that I lived in, and as we started to go up that hill going about 60, I got this movie video played before my eyes of what was going to happen to us on the other side of this hill if it wasn't changed. And it showed me that there was going to be a school bus coming, going southbound. We were going northbound. Mm-hmm. And there was going to be a white car that pulls out of the side street that comes in about 500 yards after you get to the bottom of the hill, and we're going to hit that car. So we're either going to hit that car or we're going to hit the school bus head on unless something changes. This is the first time that my angels actually had allowed me to start saying things out loud. And I said to my brother, "You better slow down." And he's like looking at me through his rearview mirror like I was crazy. And I said, "Really, you need to slow down because on the other side of this hill, we're going to have an accident. And I don't want to die today, and you don't either. So you've got to slow down." Yeah. Well, he's my brother, so of course he wasn't listening. So they're continuing like a reel going around over and over showing me this is real important. You have to change this. Mm. So I got louder and louder, and my brother goes, "What's the matter with you?" I said, "It doesn't matter what's wrong with me. Just slow down the car. I want to live. You do too. Just slow down the car. You can laugh at me tomorrow, but you're going to be alive. So slow down the car." Mm. And so my brother started to slow down the car as we started down the hill. When we got to the bottom of the hill, the school bus is already coming, so that was already showing me that we're about to have an accident. And sure enough, the white car pulls out from the right. Now, my brother at that time was probably only going about 50, so he slammed on the brakes, slowed us down to about 45, and he cut the wheel, so we sideswiped the car rather than hit the car full force, because we all would have died if we'd have done that at 65. So, I mean, they've done things like that to help me to stay alive. And yes. I was actually the only one that got hurt in that accident, and for a whole month I couldn't walk because one of my legs went through the back of the seat, one of it went under, the rest of my body went over the seat. But I didn't go through the front windshield from the back seat because my legs caught me. But I had pulled every muscle and every tendon from my neck all the way down to my heels, and I didn't know that because I really was the only one who got out of the car, called the police, called the fire department, called the school, called my mom, called everybody, handled it all really well. And then when I got home, my mom didn't have a car, so she didn't come. So the neighbors brought us home. And my mom's comment to me, wherever I was during that whole process, my mom's comment was, "I'm glad you didn't ruin your pretty white teeth." So with that, I collapsed on the floor because it brought me back from wherever I was.
Yeah.
And then I found out that I had all these muscles and stuff, so I couldn't move for a month. Gosh. I had to stay on the couch and just lay there. So while I was laying there, I started asking questions. And my main questions were, if I have these abilities and I'm supposed to know these things, why can't I tell people? Why can't I use it? Why did I have to wait until now when we're all maybe going to die? Why? And they actually gave me a very good answer. And the answer was that they gave me was that if we had allowed you to do what you're going to be capable of doing and can do now at the age of 6, they would have locked you away, probably drugged you and tested you, and you would have never been able to achieve what you're here to do.
Yes. That is true, yes.
Yeah, so I went along with the program, and so they're around me all the time. And I really wrote the book so that other people, it's actually a self-help book. It's not just a story of my life. It's a self-help book with what I went through in order to make it to where I am and to help other people know that they're not alone, that they all have this. All they have to do is ask for it and listen and then follow through. So it's got a lot of good advice in it for people on how to get through things and a lot of good affirmations and things. So I didn't even want to write the book. I was actually told by my angels, "You're writing it," and they aggravated me long enough until I finally said, "Okay, then will you be quiet for a little while?"
They reminded you that it was your contract.
Apparently.
Yeah. Now, it's interesting when you talk about your book. You seem to infer that your angels have a sense of humor. I mean, what type of humor is it?
Oh, they do have a good sense of humor, okay? Like, I will tell you, I don't smoke and I don't drink and I don't do drugs, all right? But one day, somebody said to me, "Oh, Nancy, you ought to really try to smoke." And I'm going, "Well, I don't smoke." And they go, no, you need to smoke. And I go, no, I don't smoke. And they go, "No, you really need to smoke." And I'm going, "Smoke what?" And, of course, they were talking about a joint. Well, yes. I never tried it or anything else, and I thought, well, okay, maybe I'm missing out on something. So, and I was married at the time, so I went home and I said to my husband, I said, "Do you know anybody that has any pot?" And he looked at me and goes, "What?" I said, "Yeah, one of my friends at the racquetball tournament that I was playing in said that's really great and it makes you relax and it, you know, heightens all your senses and everything else." And I said, "So I want to try it." He goes, "You have never tried it before?" I said, "No," and I was like 33 at the time. I said, "No, I have never tried it." As when I was in the 60s and in high school, the kids that were smoking pot, I would get nauseated, so I would walk out of the room, you know. So that in itself should have told me, but it didn't. So as I'm asking my husband at the time to call somebody to see if they have a joint, I hear, "You really don't want to do that." I thought, "Oh, yeah, I do. I've got to try it." I heard, "No, you really don't want to do that." And I go, "Well, yeah, I do." And I hear, "You're going to be sorry." And it was quiet. And I thought, well, okay, I wonder what that's all about. But I had to try it because I'm a little stubborn. And so what happened is after I'd taken about three drags, I guess that's what you call it, off this joint, I wasn't buzzed. I wasn't feeling anything. My husband, however, was pretty high. But within a half hour after I did that, I started breaking out with canker sores all over my lips, inside my mouth, all over my tongue, down my throat, into my lungs.
Gosh.
And I almost died because I had a septic reaction to the power ingredients are in there. And so I suffered for that for a little while. And I would hear in the background, "We told you so." I thought, yeah, right. You know, so they do have a sense of humor. But they're also very serious with helping everybody because they want everybody to know that they are there. All you have to do is ask for their help.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you certainly had some very interesting experiences. But on a serious, very serious note here, what do they mean by your work, and to quote you, rising people's consciousness to a high level? What does that achieve for people?
To raise their consciousness? It actually helps people
to a higher level,
aware of really what's going on, not only around them, but inside themselves. So they can actually get themselves very balanced and be a very balanced person total. Not just balanced sometimes, but very balanced all the time. And waking up their consciousness is to let people know that there's a lot more than just what they're seeing in the world today. There's a whole lot more still yet to come, a whole bunch more that people can help other people, you know, continue to be on their path as well. So the awakening of the consciousness is really opening up people so that they trust, they believe, and they learn how to really love again. Not just themselves, but everybody else.
Right, yes. Now, you use the angels, and presumably you mean their channeling when you do a tarot reading. Is that a correct interpretation of what you said? Do they speak through you and help you to interpret the meaning of the cards?
Yes. Yes. And by that I mean that...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I was simply going to say, or to ask you rather, whether in that case the version you use is different to what, say, might be the standard accepted meanings.
I don't know if it's necessarily different, but when I use the tarot cards to do the coaching or the life coaching, all of that, it actually tells me a whole story about everything that's gone on in that person's life. And what happens is there's like 50 words a second that I'm hearing. So during a consultation, I'm basically hearing the entire time. Like, oh, yeah, I really know what that means. But when I look at the card, whatever pictures are coming up, I don't base it necessarily on anything other than the energy, the color of the picture, and what I'm feeling. It tells me a total story. It tells me how to help that person. It helps me to understand where that person is coming from. Mm. And it just keeps channeling through me until the reading is done.
Right. Now, I'm familiar with tarot readings, and I should guess a lot of people listening in are, but there's certainly one card, I think, that rather frightens people, and that is the Hangman. Now, what is your interpretation of that as a single card? I mean, I know you do a reading looking through a series of cards, but how do you interpret that one?
See, the Hangman in my deck is not... It's not an ugly-looking card or anything, but I interpret it as people trying to figure out what to do. They're doing a lot of searching, so they're kind of hanging out there. They don't know quite what to do, whether it's, you know, to take this route or to take that route. So I basically interpret it as the person is searching, looking for some answers that they truly already have inside themselves. They just aren't listening to themselves at the time. So to me, that's just a searching card.
Right. So are you saying that our intuition could possibly be prompted by angels or guides that are behind us trying to push us in the right direction?
They're trying to. If people would just kind of listen and open up and trust themselves, they're really trying to help.
Yes, so that's part of their service to us whilst we're in this particular life. So, can you tell us what the past means in the sense that you've spoken of your accuracy to focus on issues, and you said that your accuracy is quite amazing, and you can review the past, the present, and the future. So I wondered what the past meant in the sense that, does it mean recent events, or are you going back even to past lives?
Sometimes it just comes up. It's like when I do the readings, whatever's coming through is what I'm to tell the person. So it will talk about past things that they have gone through in the lifetime right now that they know about it. Sometimes it talks about other things that they have done in other past lifetimes, but I'm very careful with that because unless somebody understands past lives or even believes that they have them, it doesn't really do a lot of good to start throwing that into the mixture.
Right.
So the past comes up mostly with their life like right now. If they ask a question about a past life, it can come up. I don't guarantee that because I don't talk about how I can do that. But if they ask, then I will. You know, so it tells me a review of what they've gone through from, say, the day they're seeing me all the way backwards to the day they were born. And if they ask a question about before that, some of the things will come in. Especially if people have certain fears about things or they have a certain connection with something, that will come through. And so I just kind of basically report what I'm getting as it's coming through me.
Right.
And then now, the present, they know the present,
yeah,
so we have to talk
yes.
about that because a lot of people have many, many hang-ups about present and a lot of things that's gone on in their past life as they know it. And until they can rectify some of those things or let them go or readjust them to make them more balanced within themselves, it is very hard for most people to move forward without that same stuff following them the rest of their life.
Yes. So when you talk of the future, presumably that isn't looking too far ahead because you're connecting that with something that's already taking place.
Right. It's like a lot of times people will ask me, for example, if they're going to get a job. And, you know, if job they have, they may not like. Are they going to get a new job? Of course, that's future. So
yes.
that's not too far in advance. Some people say, well, what's going to happen in 10 years? And some things will come out, but I always have to remind people or the person that I'm reading that it's real important that they know that it's their free will and they can control any part of it or none of it if they want. And so it's really up to them to make their life come out the way their heart's desire, true desire, not what their logic brain thinks they want, but their true heart's desire might be.
Yes. Now, a question here about psychic resources, which you said you are the owner and founder of. What is that exactly?
Psychic resources is the name that I came up with only because I try to help people to understand that they all have the same ability. They all can do the same thing I'm doing, but they have to work with it. They have to, you know, get themselves a little bit more balanced. So it's actually a place where to help them learn, but it's also a place that if somebody wants something that I'm not capable of doing or I know that I'm not going to do or not capable of doing, I have a lot of other people who do. So it's
yeah.
kind of like a resource for different things that I don't do.
Hmm. Right. I mean, is that still in existence?
Yes, it is.
Right. So that is something you operate separately from your other work, is it?
Yes, I do.
All right. So do people come to you and consult you about things of that nature?
Yeah, they do.
Right, okay. Now, you've been doing intuitive life coaching for over 30 years. Have you had any unusual contacts during that time? I mean, have you ever had a difficult one at all? Someone you couldn't really handle?
I can't say that I've ever had somebody that I can't handle, because my angels are there pretty good. But I've had some kind of strange stuff every now and then. Like, when I first started doing parties, I don't have a limit with parties. You know, like, how many people are there, that's fine. You can do all night. I don't care. I don't get tired. But I was doing this one party with a lot of women. There was probably about 15 women there. And this one girl, and she was probably about the fifth or maybe sixth person I was going to see. And I was sitting in a dining room that was, like, totally lit up. I mean, like, dining room lighting is very, very bright. And as she walked in the room, the entire room, to me, went dark, went black.
Oh.
And I thought, this is going to be different. So before I started her reading, I said to her, I need to know what is going on with you that is possibly threatening your life. And there was some silence. And I said, I won't do a reading until you tell me this, because I've got some things and I got to see where it's at. And she said, my husband has a contract out on me, and it's the second time he's put out that contract. So as soon as she told me that, all the lights went right back on. And so I said, okay, well, now let's see what we can do. So, you know, I did the readings that I do, which I started off with general first, to just get a general idea of everything and everybody that's in their life and what's going on. And then I narrowed it down to how to help her maybe stay alive, because it just came out. It's not like I do that on purpose. It just kind of comes. And as far as I know, she's, you know, still alive today. But that was kind of strange, because I think that was maybe the third or fourth party I'd ever done. So it was a long time ago, and it was just kind of different that all of a sudden that would happen as a warning to me that something's going on with her.
Right. So someone who's carrying presumably a lot of fear or negativity, it has a very profound effect on you.
Yeah. And when I first started to do readings and stuff for people, I didn't really know how to protect myself. You know, so because not only do I get to hear from my angels, but it's like I get to go right inside that person's heart, and I get to feel every sense of emotion that person is going through. And so I would start to do these readings, and all of a sudden the tears would start streaming down my face, and I knew I wasn't crying.
Yeah.
And I would look at the person, and I would say, you see these tears? These are not my tears. These are your kind of tears. Right. And with that, the person would usually look at me in a very startled way and burst into tears, you know. And it wasn't that I was trying to make them cry. It's just that I wanted them to know that they were hurting so much inside that, as, you know, myself being across from them, I'm feeling all of it.
Right, yes. Now, obviously, in the days that we live in, people perhaps have good reason for carrying fear around with them, but you say you have positive affirmations and other techniques that you can assist people to meet these challenges. Can you sort of give us an idea of what a typical affirmation is? I mean, or is it too long?
No, it's okay. Mine are kind of like short and sweet to the point. A lot of people right now are very fearful about money. That's one of the biggest things: money, jobs, and relationships. So on my website, if they click on positive affirmations, there's one for money that it says, instead of worrying about money you don't have or the money that's not there or is the money going to be there, you know, worrying in a negative way, if you take the negative thought and you turn it into a positive thought, make it positive thought, positive words, and put that out, you're going to get that back, just like if you put out the negative. So for money, it would be, what am I going to do with all the excess money that I now have, versus, God, I got to have some money, because the universe knows no time frame. And so you're telling them that this is what you have, but you have it now. So So they do have a time frame with that. So you're not demanding it. You're just giving them a time frame. And most people, when they do positive affirmations, they just put the words out and they don't do a time frame. But if you're going to put the words out, you also need to put out, you know, your true heart smart part, I call it, and make sure that everybody is understanding yourself with what you really want. And that's why you put the word now on there.
Right. So you're really, I believe, referring to the law of attraction.
Yes, but yes, and the law of attraction does work, but you can't not just say the words. You have to put the words out and believe that it is your turn now to have it. And a lot of people don't do that, and so it doesn't work. And then they go and get upset thinking that it doesn't work, that nothing works, and you see that's not true.
Right. Now, you cover spiritual fields in your work. What are your own spiritual beliefs?
Well, I believe that there's a higher power by all means. I don't really believe in the way religion is taught, but I do believe there's a higher power that has helped us and will continue to help us as long as you ask for it and you believe that it's there.
Yeah. So you call that power God or whatever name people like to use.
Whatever people want to call their own God, their own self.
Yes, right. So does it stretch any further than that? I mean, do you believe that we can find the truth within and that we don't have to go to any particular religious order or foundation?
I believe you always have the truth within. I believe it's always there, waiting for the person to tap into it, waiting for the person to trust it and follow it. That's the part I call the heart smart part.
Okay, right. Now, you must tell us about your school for now. I'm looking for the word. School of now, right? Tell us about that.
School
what
of
it's
now.
All about. Yeah.
Well, it actually started, I have a 501c3, which is a nonprofit, a really recognized nonprofit, called A Child's Miracle Mind, Inc. And I put the Child's Miracle Mind, Inc. together because of my granddaughter. She's now 9 years old. So for the last 5 years, I have been working on a way to help all these children that are here now that either are not fitting into the bell curve, like you said a little bit earlier, or the children who have been labeled with ADD, ADHD, and not that I'm totally against drugs, but I know there's a lot of alternatives that the parents could use first before putting the children on the drugs. So I put it together because my granddaughter was in a Montessori school, and in the Montessori school, she's about 2.5 and 3, and they would constantly tell my daughter, who was an instructor at Montessori, that there was something wrong with my granddaughter. She had a chemical imbalance. She has this. She has that because she can't focus. She doesn't pay attention. She only wants to talk. She wants to lead, you know, things like that. And it was actually hurting my daughter very badly. And you can mess with a lot of things, but you don't mess with my family, obviously. So I said to my daughter, I said, Tracy, when you go back to work tomorrow and they start telling you there's all this stuff wrong with Taylor, she's my granddaughter, I said, you ask them this. You ask them that if she cannot focus, and she does not pay attention, then why is it that she can sit and watch a full-length video movie one time? It doesn't matter how long of time between the next time she's going to watch it is. If it's a week, a day, a month, she knows every single word by every single character that's being said and exactly at the time it's being said, and she can do it while she's playing on a computer.
Mm-hmm.
You ask them how she's able to do that if she cannot focus.
Right.
They, of course, couldn't give her an answer. So I thought, well, my granddaughter's not the only child out there that is probably going through this. And then the ADD, ADHD thing started hitting really big. Oh, everything was ADD, ADHD. And I have a hard time with labeling a child like that. So I actually, you know, sat down and talked to some of the other people that I know who, you know, talk about ADD and everything. And I said, you know, is it possible that these children are just highly intelligent, that they're very bored with what the school is teaching them, and because of that, they really don't pay a lot of attention, and when you have that much energy, and they're taking away all the creative parts of school, that it would affect them. And they said, well, probably. So then I started thinking that if that were the case, then why not open a school that is designed to help the child as an individual? Classrooms are only 15 students. And before the student actually starts school, the entire family, that child and their entire family, there is an astrology chart done, a numerology chart done, and a consultation like with myself done. So we know every facet of that child as to why maybe they may be acting up, why they may not be paying attention, or if they're bored, or what the case may be. So the School of Now is actually based upon that theory of helping the students individually. And the School of Now is not just a day school. It will also be a live-in school, and it will accommodate about 500 students. I'm in the process now of getting all the funding and the land and everything that I need in order to build this school. And so I've been working on it really hard, trying to get it all done. And actually, I have David Icke coming in to the United States to do a fundraiser for the School of Now.
Yes, I did see your flyer somewhere on that. That's next month, isn't it? Is that next month?
Yeah, it's October 11th. And he's going to do a one-day seminar. And he's going to be in Santa Fe, New Mexico with me. And then he's also going to be in the state of Washington, and he's also going to be in Arizona. So he's going to be in three places, all for, like, the month of October. But he had agreed to come and help me out, which I was absolutely thrilled. So that's a big thing coming in October to help raise some money for the school.
I think that's absolutely great. And I think the type of school you're describing really is one that we are going to have in the future. Personally, I feel there are some major changes coming up over a period of years. You said 2010 you think will be important. A lot of people believe that there will be a great change at the end of 2012. So I think you're setting it up ready for these future years. Now, when you mention these children like your granddaughter, do you think there are lots of them here that are more spiritually aware? And as you've more or less said, they're bored. They haven't got an outlet for what they know or their creative skills.
Without a doubt. I think these children of today, and Phil is going to be coming in, are so, so highly intelligent in spirituality, metaphysical, all of that. And the schools of today, and I can't say all of them, but the majority of them, use the same old antiquated system. And these kids are not learning, you know, they are actually bringing their energy level down to meet ours. In reality, theirs is much higher than ours and trying to bring us up to them. So they're here to teach us. They're here to help us relearn. I mean, they come here with pure love in their heart. And it just, they have it very, very hard with their energy. And it does upset them, and it does make them, you know, not want to pay attention because they're so very, very bored. You know, so giving them a different kind of school, like the school that I'm doing. The grades are not based on one, you know, second grade, third grade, and fourth grade. They're based upon that child and what that child knows, and they will put in a compatible classroom setting with other children at their level and like them so that there's not this competition or, you know, name-calling or being mean to each other because they're really, it's not needed, but that's kind of what normal schools do from purge.
Yes.
And with that, the children can actually, you know, progress at their own speed. They don't have to wait for, like, a class to be done. Or if they can go ahead of the game, then they'll be allowed to go ahead of the game. And because each one will be individually known, you know, through and through, it will help all of the teachers to understand how to approach them, to get really the best from them that they can be proud of. Because a lot of the students that I've talked to, you know, they tell me, I'm just bored. I don't like this school. You know, there's nothing to do. You know, just stuff like that. But in this school, once a month, there will be a different instructor that comes in for an entire week. And they're teaching, you know, the spiritual, metaphysical aspects of life, whether it's channeling, meditation, learning how to read cards, whatever it is, for a whole week.
Yeah.
And then once that instructor leaves, the school will practice what that instructor has been here and taught for that whole month until the next one comes. That way they'll have a much rounded idea of truly what's really going on and to help them because, again, they are so very bored here.
How do you involve the parents in this so that they also can understand their children?
Well, the parents need to be involved because once the charts are done on them, the astrology charts, numerology charts, and the consultation, then we can sit down and we can actually talk about, you know, why the child may be acting the way they're acting. If there's an emotional problem going on, a lot of times there are, and parents don't even want to, you know, think about that. But it is, because these children pick up everything, any kind of energy, these children pick it up. So if there's, you know, a mother and a father who are not getting along but staying together for the children's sake, they're going to pick it up. So they'll all have the same kind of ideas to how that child chose them, what that child needed to learn, and that's why they chose their parents, and to help the parents also understand how to help this child to be all they can be. To see, most parents are working very hard trying to make ends meet, and so they don't. It's not that they don't pay a lot of attention to their children, but they're just too tired, and they're too stressed and too frustrated. So these children who are highly emotional anyway, when you're put into that kind of energy, it sends them into a whole different kind of energy frenzy inside themselves. So the parents would definitely be involved with knowing really who their child is. I mean, if you ask most parents, who is your child? And you say, what does your child like? And what kind of personality does your child have? A lot of the parents can't answer that because they don't know.
Right. Well, yes, clearly it is important that the parents benefit from what you're doing with the children. Now, something you've mentioned about people having forgotten how to love not only other people or themselves, but life itself. Now, what is it you think that's caused people not to love themselves?
I think a lot of people actually have a very hard time accepting who they are. You know, a lot of people that I have consultations with have a lot of different hang-ups from past things that they have gone through, and they don't know how to let them go. So on my website, there's a thing, it says, let go letter. And if people who are having a hard time letting go of past hurts, pains, angers, or guilt will go to the website and click on that let go letter, print it out, read it, and follow it exactly to a T, and find out more about themselves than they probably have ever known. Plus, it also gives them the way to release all of it, because the more they hang on to it, it's like a magnet. It's going to keep bringing that same energy to you over and over again. And this letter was actually given to me by my angels a long time ago with a way to help people let go of their hurts, their pains, their angers, their guilt, so they can actually become, again, more whole and more, you know, open consciousness, let's say.
Yes, and that also presumably means forgiving themselves of anything they feel guilty about.
Right. I mean, a lot of people have been raised is that you can't do that, you shouldn't do that, you're not right, you're wrong, you know, you're this and you're that. And people, when that's pounded into them day after day after day, they're going to believe it, you know. I mean, if your parents tell you you're not worth anything, I get to hear that a lot, okay? Well, that's your parents. You know, do you believe them? Most kids will believe them into adulthood until they get a little bit wiser and they go, you know, they were wrong. But that hurt is still there, and they got to let go of that hurt. And you just can't say, oh, well, let go of it. It's going to go away. It really doesn't work like that. There is a technique, and it is on the website. So if people want to try it, they'll see most of the people who have done the let go letter, they always call me back. And they go, man, Nancy, I didn't know I had so many things going on. And one thing I do is when I do a consultation with people and I suggest a let-go letter to them, I tell them, please, do not call me back until you do that. Because if you try to call me back and you haven't done that, your reading is probably going to be almost the same. You're going to waste your money. And then the strangest part is I actually remember what I have told you. And it could be 10 years later, but I still remember. So please, do your work first. Okay?
Right.
I mean, every single psychic out there, they need to be telling the people that we cannot fix them, because we can't.
Right.
We cannot fix them. They really have to do their own work so that it's really fixed. And that letter is for that.
Right. Now, you're mentioning your website. It's probably a good time, as we're coming near to the end of the program, if you give out the details, not only of your website, but your telephone number, because I believe you obviously use that for people who want telephone readings. So I'll give you a couple of minutes to give that information.
Great, thank you. The website, I have two of them, so I'll give you out my main one, because you can get to both of them through it. It's www.nancys, that's N-A-N-C-Y-S, psychicresources.com. The other one, if you want to go straight there, is www.childmiraclemind.org. And hopefully next week, pictures of the school will be up on the site, and it's gorgeous, okay? But my phone number is 630-941-6816.
Email address?
And this, pardon me?
Email address?
The email address is nwallace, that's W-A-L-L-A-C-E, 77 at hotmail.com.
Right. And where can people get your book?
They can order it right through the website.
Right,
just go there and click on, and it'll send out a link so that we know who wants it. And the book actually comes through different ways. You can get it in a book, you can get it in a CD, or it can actually be emailed. So there's three different ways of getting it.
All right, you're very well organized, I say. Yeah, I think you're doing an absolutely wonderful job for your own particular interest. Did you know when you were a young person that you might be heading this way?
I wasn't really sure. They just told me over and over and over again that if you're here for a purpose, you got to complete your purpose. So I guess my purpose, from what I'm understanding, is to help people empower themselves, help the children to empower themselves so they can be all they can be, so that they can like themselves, love themselves, and in turn start to actually love everybody else.
Right, that's a wonderful statement you've made there, and it will bring us to the end of the program, Nancy. I'll have a minute or so to introduce my guests for next week. But that was terrifically interesting. Of course, as usual, when it's like that, the time goes so quickly. It doesn't seem a couple of minutes that we started.
No,
well,
it doesn't.
Thank you
very much. You're very welcome, Mike. Before we go, though, I would like to interview you on my show.
Well, you're quite welcome, yes, because I didn't mention you have shows also on BBS Radio.
Yeah, so, we'll talk about it, and we'll get you up on one of my shows, probably in the latter part of October, if we can, okay?
Yeah, I'd love to, yes. That's great. Anyway, thank you very much for coming on to my one. It's been a great time. And thank you, my friends, for listening in. Thank you, Nancy. You're welcome, and the best of luck with your ventures. Next week, my friends, we have Lou Soma. He's been on before, so this is his return visit, but it's with a different matter in mind. He's writing a book called Moon Messages from the Pleiadians, and it's coming out very shortly. It's his new e-book. It took about 3 years for him to put it together from the channeling he received, and I can tell you, because I've read a part of it, it's a wonderful book, and you're going to be absolutely delighted with what you hear. So thank you for being with me. I hope you can be with me next week. God bless you all.